Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
And good Friday morning, Western Oklahoma. It is The Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the sports animal. Jared Atha filling in for Aaron one more day. He will be back with us on Monday, thank goodness. I think a lot of people just said that at one time. But I'm Jared setting in for Skinny. And my guest host today is Corey Speaker, Mountain Man himself. He's going to help me out. Thanks, Corey, for hanging out.
You're welcome. I don't know that I have much to add here, but I'm here for emotional support.
That's what I like. I think I described it to you. Radio is kind of like, you know, playing catch, okay?
Yeah.
And then when you don't have somebody to play catch with, at least you have a wall and you can throw a ball against the wall and the ball will come back to you. You're my wall today,
there
Corey.
You go.
Thank you very much for hanging out. I appreciate it.
Perfect.
We have a really cool show today. Of course, the Masters got underway yesterday. Tiger looked good. He played a round of golf, and everyone is applauding his one-under performance. Can he continue it because of the leg injuries? We'll kind of break that down and discuss that coming up. Got a really cool guest coming up about 9:30. We have the OU beat writer from the Oklahoman, Ryan Aber. That name sounds familiar because he's done a lot of great stuff for the Oklahoman. He's covered prep sports. Now he's on the OU beat and OU right now. A lot of stuff to talk about. OU softball. We've talked about them, their historic run. We got Bedlam baseball that starts tonight. Does OU have a chance in that one? Never know. It's Bedlam. You can throw out the records, throw out the rankings. When it's Bedlam, you never know. Also, of course, we're in the middle of spring football, spring games coming up, brand new coaching staff, almost brand new team with some veterans sprinkled in there. So we'll get his thoughts on all those, all things OU athletics coming up. And we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. You can text us. Ask us questions. We've got a question for Ryan a little later. We can ask it for you. 580-225-9698, 580-225-9698. Shoot us a text, and we'll relay that on air. And whatever you're thinking about, we love to get those text messages. How do you follow us? How do you be a part of the show? Well, I told you how to be a part of the show, but how can you listen to the show again if you missed it? It's real simple. Just find us on iTunes. We have a podcast that we put on there. Also, you can find a replay on the show on kadsam.com, our website. And I like to take that and throw it on Facebook, although I'm mad at Facebook right now, Corey. You know why?
Why?
Because I post the show, okay, goes to iTunes. Like I said, it goes to our website. Then I like to take that link and put it on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page.
Okay.
Well, Facebook has deemed that as spam.
So they throw it out.
And not the kind you cook. They won't allow me to post it, and I've disputed it. I've told them, you go through the process here of this is not spam. I'm not spamming any people how is it spam if somebody chooses to follow our page to get what this content?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you better be careful. You'd be like Jimmy. He gets thrown in Facebook jail all the time. So.
He does?
Yeah. He told me this morning he got thrown in Facebook jail for something he posted like 3 weeks ago or something. So be careful, man. You'll be in jail.
Well, I don't understand. There's nothing controversial. I don't know what he posted. I don't – listen, I get it.
Yeah.
I get who's running
his. Was a meme. Yeah. His was a meme.
I wish Elon Musk would get some stock into Facebook and help me out here. Apparently, he's doing that with Twitter. We're not on Twitter. Maybe that's where I need to go now.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to go that route to Twitter. But keep following us on Facebook. We throw some content on there when they let us, when they tell us it's not spam. But again, KADSAM.com, you can click there. Or again, just follow us on iTunes, on podcast on iTunes, and it'll alert you on your phone as soon as the new podcast is ready. Corey, how are you?
I'm good.
Is this the busy time? I asked you earlier in the week, you want to help me out, and you said, yeah, and I told you some dates that were open, and you chose today. Is this a busy time of the week for you?
Well, I'll be scatting out of here when we're done and going down to cook lunch at Mountain Man's. But man, I got to help a brother out.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Appreciate that so much. Mountain Man's great venue, has such a great asset to not only Elk City, but Western Oklahoma. You brought something here that nobody has other than way down in Hochatown.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, you're connected with them, right?
Yeah, that's cousins.
Okay.
Cousins, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So when you go to Hochatown, you can – well, actually, I got a lot of family down there.
I believe
actually,
it.
The sheriff of McCurtain County is a first cousin to my wife.
Good to know.
Yeah, I got connections.
Okay, now I'm going to name drop if I ever get into a pickle down in McCurtain County.
Yeah, they might throw you under the jail if you mention my name. But, yeah, I can hook you up when you get down there.
My mother-in-law was down there all week this week. She's coming home today.
Well, I saw Andrew Albert posted a Facebook picture of a bunch of crappie that he caught at Broken Bow Lake.
Oh, so, boy.
Yeah, the fish are biting.
Haven't been on the lake itself, been around the lake.
Yeah.
And I've been, you know, we've had cabin down there, went golfing over there.
Yeah.
And
Hochatown
is just.
I don't know if it's currently, but we had a couple of state record bass that come out of that lake.
I don't doubt
so
it.
So that's kind of beautiful the start
country.
Of the migration yeah. when they've built 6,000 cabins down there
that's
in
awesome.
The last few years.
That is amazing. It's amazing. So. I hope it doesn't get overdeveloped. Does that make sense?
It's working on it. The number two hottest real estate market in the world. Currently.
I saw a show. It's on one of those HG whatever home channels.
Yeah.
And it was you see there's a ton of these shows where they're looking for a home and they'll go and they'll look at three homes and they have to decide which home do they want. This one was geared towards they're looking for a vacation home.
Yeah.
And they wanted, it was a couple out of the Dallas Metroplex. They wanted a vacation home in that area in McCurtain County, Hochatown around Broken Bow.
Yeah.
They toured three of the cabins and then they picked one and I swear, one of them, I was like, I think that's the one we stayed in.
Yeah. It's a beautiful part of the world. It's just the fact that, and I lived down there for 5 years. Back in the 90s, my father-in-law got cancer, but their infrastructure is not keeping up with their growth.
Oh, boy.
They got to get things going pretty quickly or they will not be able to afford, hence all the things we go through in Elk City, mm-hmm. all the pains. They haven't done any of that. I mean, those cabins are still on septic systems. Those wells or rural water. There's one fire truck for all those cabins. There's one ambulance that stages up there. There's a lot of issues that they are going to be faced with. It's beautiful. The golf course, I mean, it's just an amazing part of the country. That was kind of, if you wake up down there, it feels like Colorado.
Yes.
Except for the humidity in the summertime. But it's a great place. It's just that growing pains, man. 40,000, can you imagine 40,000 extra people in Elk City for a weekend? So
anyway. We can try. I mean, the rodeo weekend, I don't know. It seems like when you look at the parade, there's that many people along the streets. But consistently, like every weekend and during the summer season, that's probably what that's like.
I bet. So they're in the process of building a big casino. They're going to have like drag boat races. They're going to have all kinds of things.
But, wow.
You know, that's what, hence we are trying to do in Elk City by building all our venues, get the place where people want to come. So.
Well, awesome stuff.
We're working on it.
It's a great. Well, I love it when I go down there and I think to myself, this is still Oklahoma. This is cool.
Yeah.
You know, Oklahoma's so diverse. You can go all the way up to the Panhandle to Black Mesa, then go all the way there. I mean, it's just so many different options in Oklahoma that you can go to.
Landscapes are different. Yeah.
I love it.
If you don't like one part of the state, go to another and it looks totally different.
Yeah, same thing can be said about the weather. You don't like I'm sure it was not windy, I don't think, down in McCurtain County like it was here yesterday.
Yeah, there's a lot of trees to knock that out.
No, there were some fires yesterday up north around the Fort Supply area that I think the whole town basically had to be evacuated.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the fire in Wheeler County jumped over into Beckham County a little bit. Thank goodness the wind just suddenly stopped and they were able to get that thing under control. Haven't heard the end result of all of that as far as structures are concerned. Have not heard of any injuries or anything like that, thank goodness. But, man, it's still dangerous in today's weather's no different. It feels like it's going to be about
the
same. Got to be careful. Sunny and 64 today. Now, northwest wind between 60 and 24, which is nothing like yesterday.
Yeah.
But it's still a little breezy. Wind gusts as hard as 37, 36 tonight. Winds laid down just a tad. Tomorrow, back in the 80s and still windy. So
And the
Saturday.
Wind changes at midnight tonight. The wind actually moves around to the south.
Out of the south, southwest, so you're going to get that warm breeze.
Yes.
And it's going to blow between 18 and 23, wind gusts as hard as 34. Fire weather watch tomorrow until 9 p.m. Red flag warning now until 8 p.m. Just always worth mentioning. Just please be careful out there. Now, Masters started yesterday. Leading the pack right now is Sungjae Im with the 4-under right now. He's already started. He was leading the start today at 5-under, but he's already bogeyed a hole. Don't know which one, but he's played through two holes. So he's tied with Cam Smith. Have you seen Cam Smith? His look is right up your alley, man.
Oh, yeah?
I'm
going to have to go look. I've got this real-time scoreboard going over here. What keeps catching my eye, is this right? Is this $11.5 million is the purse for this tournament?
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt. Yeah, that's – let me see here.
Okay, dude. Cam Smith might have a rival here pretty soon. I'm going to have to go buy a club or two.
Have you seen his look?
No, I'm going to have to
– He is from Australia.
Yeah.
He is a – well, I mean, he – as far as a person, he's a really likable guy. He won the Players, which is not a – I mean, it's a really prestigious tournament. He's a lot of people's favorite coming into this, but he's not a lot of people's favorite as far as how he looks. So I've had people text me and go, his look alone should get him kicked off of Augusta because it's that pristine and everything Augusta is. But he has a mullet, and he has a mustache.
So there he was.
And I love the look because I think it brings people into the sport. If that makes sense. Kind of think like the movie Happy Gilmore and how Happy acted and how he dressed, and that's the guy.
That's him. Okay.
How you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It kind of parallels that. Like,
so they don't like him? He doesn't really.
I say they, my friends. But,
I got you.
I haven't. There's not those in the media that are openly saying he has a horrible look and it's a disgrace for golf.
I don't care. Yeah.
I love the look.
There's been historic people throughout time. What was it? The Walrus, Craig Sadler or whatever. I mean, he had a big old mustache and big old fat round.
Yeah.
If you don't like people, I mean, come on.
Hey, to his their own.
If he was good enough to make it here, I say he can look how he wants.
He can look however he wants.
That's
somebody
right.
asked him about his haircut, about his look. And so, well, how do you cut your hair? How often? He said, about once a month.
Yeah.
I get it cleaned up about once a month. I mean, think about it. The guy golfs for a living, okay?
Yeah.
He wears a hat every day on the golf course. So, you know, he has that part covered up, has the mullet thing going on. If he feels good, he plays good.
That's right.
Look good, feel good, play good.
That's right.
And if that's how he, whatever. And again, the look, I think, brings in other people into golf. Like, oh, I don't have to look a certain way to go golfing.
That's right.
I could look like that guy and go compete in the Masters.
Break the mold. Break the mold.
I love it, the approach. Dustin Johnson, he is tied in third place. He's kind of been one of the favorites. Danny Willett, a previous champ, also a 3-under, tied a third. And the one everybody looks at is Tiger Woods. He is in 10th place with a 1-under. The big question about Tiger, he did great yesterday. He finishing 1-under, had his chances to finish 2-under, sometimes 3-under, even almost aced one hole. I think it was number 6. But I'm just impressed that Tiger Woods, about, 13 months removed from that devastating car wreck, almost had a leg amputated, is playing with plates and screws in his leg right now. And, you know, they have to walk these. There's no golf carts. They have to walk these courses. Augusta's not like Oklahoma, Corey. There's hills, and, you know, they have to maneuver that. And for any average athlete, not average athlete, but athletes that are, you know, pro golfers, that's nothing. You know, this is what they do. But for a guy that went through what Tiger has gone through at his age, that was the concern.
So
the
how old
stamina.
Is he? How old is Tiger?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Is he 40?
My friend Google can tell us. 46.
46. Okay. So
he is up there.
He is up there for a golfer.
So it is impressive that he came out, shot a 1-under, top 10 right now in the field. Now, today's a big day because he has to maintain that pace to stay above the cut line and play on Saturday and Sunday. The question is, will stamina allow him to do that? Have you ever suffered a bad injury? You ever had like a knee replacement? I'm not calling you old.
No.
You ever had anything like that?
No, I mean, I actually, one time, I guess you would have called it, I pulled a tendon in a foot.
Okay.
So I had to, you know, so I had a sore foot for a few months. But that's about, other than the regular aches and pains of growing older. But I've never had a traumatic knee surgery or legs. You know, I've been lucky, knock on wood.
I've been trying to equate this to anything that you can't, because he's a pro athlete, you know, and he looks in great shape on the course. You know, obviously he was rehabbing since they allowed him to after that horrible accident.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's more impressive, him actually just there and playing, him shooting a one under yesterday, or what is going to be more impressive, him able to continue that today, make the cut,
yeah,
and continue into the weekend, and maybe actually even being a contender in this thing come Sunday.
There you go.
That would be the story of all stories.
Yes.
He won it in 19. That seemed to be, at the time, in 10 years prior, and then we thought forever, that's going to be the biggest story in golf. He was able to win the Masters in 2019. The man, what a cherry on top of a career. That could be it for him, because he's never going to reach that level of success ever again. And then, of course, the wreck happened.
Yeah.
And thought, well, that's it. That's it for Tiger. Because there's questions, would he even play ever again? There's questions of his leg still being attached to his body.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
And you know he's got to love it, because I'm not for certain, but with what he's won, surely he would not ever have to work again in his life.
Oh,
he could just go play recreational golf the rest of his life if he wanted to.
Yes.
So he's got to love it to want to do this.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm anxious to see how he looks today. He tees off at 12:41 our time, so I might take a late lunch to watch some of that.
There you go.
And we'll see how he does. And some other notables that we keep our eye on around here, Abraham Anser, OU guy. He is even right now, tied for 20th, along with Victor Hovland. He, too, even. And that Abraham Anser, he tees off, or has teed off, it should be right now, unless my times are wrong. Victor Hovland, a little bit later, in about 30 minutes, should be teeing off. So keep an eye on those guys. Of course, Victor Hovland played his golf at OSU, and Abraham Anser.
So what's that flag for him? Where's he from?
Which one?
Victor Hovland.
I believe that is.
Tied for 20th.
I believe that's Holland.
Okay.
I believe so.
I'm sorry I'm asking these silly questions.
No, it's just no,
all these have these flags
Norway,
by them.
Norway.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Norwegian professional golfer.
There you go.
And he had probably the best pants yesterday. They were these bright pink pants with a white stripe down the side.
Oh, nice.
So if they're not talking about your golf game, at least they're talking about your apparel and your pants. So
yeah. So I had a college fraternity brother that he was a knockout high school golfer from Enid. His name was Doug Raymond, and the dude was just this little bitty guy, but he had the coolest golf outfits. You know, I mean, he like still wore the knickers, and he had pink golf pants. We had a golf tournament one time at school, and it's like, seriously, dude, I'm not walking beside you if you're wearing that.
There's times at our KECO golf tournament that I've wanted to dress up like a golfer from the 20s.
True.
You know what I mean?
Get the hat with the ball on
exactly,
the top of it and
exactly.
all that. Yeah, I'd be in.
I've tried to get, at the time when Chad Roper was here, I tried to say, hey, let's do that. You and me, let's walk around. And he didn't want to do it.
Well, if I was any good, if I could back up my golf game with my clothes, I mean, you know, if I could wear that and actually
play,
play golf really well,
It goes back to the Cam Smiths, you know, hey, if you dress up however you feel, if it makes you feel good, you usually play good, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so Masters continuing today. The cut line, I don't know where that would be, where the projected cut line is. It's at 2 over. So keep that in mind. The projected cut line right now is 2 over. And again, Tiger at 1 under, and the majority of the field is, you know, right around that 1 under course. But man, I'm sorry, in 4 under, 3 under, somewhere around there. So keep an eye on it. Should be another fun day of golf. You know what else started yesterday was Major League Baseball. It's the last thing on everybody's mind because you play so many games of baseball all the way, of course, to October. So it's like, okay, we'll catch up with baseball when the Masters are over.
But yeah.
A lot of us are baseball purists. We love to watch it and check it out. The defending champs last night, the Braves, they were, that's the game I had on until my kids told me to turn it. They lost last night to the Reds 6-3. The Angels, they lost to the Astros 3-1, despite Otani on the mound, giving up 8 hits and 3 runs. But Astros look like to be the cream of the crop of the AL West. Speaking of the AL West, Texas Rangers, I'm really anxious to see how the Texas Rangers look. This is the best time for me anyways as a Ranger fan because they don't have a losing record and they that won't last long. So, but yeah. There's a lot of excitement around this year because they spent a lot of money to basically rebuild their infield. They're trying, but what's next is they got to spend some more money to get some pitching. But on the mound tonight, they're taking on the Blue Jays at 6:07 in Toronto, and they'll start John Gray. That name sounds familiar with you because he's from Chandler, Oklahoma, played at OU, went and got drafted by the Colorado Rockies, had a nice start to his career there. Now he was traded over the offseason to Texas, and that's where he's at now. And he will appear to get the start for the Texas Rangers. So some local interest there.
Oh, there's lots of pro baseball games going on. I just pulled the
Yeah,
schedule.
Today there is. I think they're all fully at it. Yesterday, some highlighted games. I love how the Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees are starting the season with the series, you know?
Yeah.
The biggest rivalry in baseball.
Starts at 12:05 today.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm a little put out that it's hard for me to watch baseball because of actually watch it on TV because of out-of-market stuff. And, you know, I can't watch – I don't get the Bally Sports thing. I don't get it on my provider.
Yeah.
I'd have to pay extra, and I'm not about paying extra money in these times.
Yeah.
So I've looked at other ways of doing it, like MLB.TV. They still say, well, it's blacked out and whatever. I'm a little – I mean, it needs
Come
to
on.
Be more accessible. But yeah. That's been a gripe of mine for quite some time. Jared Atha sitting in for Aaron Kalk. For one more day, he'll be back with you on Monday. Helping me out is Mountain Man Corey's speaker. Reminder, class of 2002, Clinton High School reunion. That's 20 years ago. The 20th anniversary is coming up. They're going to have their reunion on Memorial Day weekend. A lot of events planned for Saturday and Sunday, family-friendly events and school tour and all kinds of cool stuff. RSVP for Lee. .k.armstrong, that's Lee, spelled Lee.k.armstrong@gmail.com. Need some more information, just contact me here at the
studio.
Is
that you?
That is my class.
Sweet.
That is a daily reminder of how old I am.
Well, so, the next thing you know, you'll be picking that up, and it'll be your 30-year class reunion.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
My goodness, how time does fly. But it's been a good ride. But, again, Memorial Day weekend, you have until May 1st to RSVP for that. And from what I've heard, a lot of interest. So I'm anxious to go back and reconnect with some people.
Yeah.
Should be fun. Hey, bringing in a really cool guest today, it is Ryan Aber. He is the OU beat writer for the Oklahoman, has done a lot of things for the Oklahoman over time, and doing a great job. I encourage everybody to pick up the latest editions of the Oklahoman and see what he has to offer. Very insightful. And Ryan, I remember reading your stuff back when you were on the prep beat, and you did a good job with that. So no wonder they put you on the OU beat. You do a good job for them, too. How are you?
Doing great. Hey, thanks for having me on this morning. And yeah, it's been a while since I've been at the Oklahoman, so been doing a little bit of everything, like you said.
We mentioned age. I didn't mean to try and make you feel old by saying you've been there for a while. But if you're there for a while, it means you're doing a good job. And you've been doing a great job with covering OU. And there's a lot of stuff happening with OU athletics right now this time of year. And it's so odd for me that we're not going to talk about football to start. I want to talk about OU softball because they seem to be the cream of the crop this time of year. 33-0, 35-game win streak. What a run for Coach Patty Gasso and this team. I'm sure you've been on it, but can this be or is this one of the greatest OU softball teams ever, or do we know that yet?
Well, we don't know that yet because they've got to win a championship to be able to validate that. But when you look at the roster that they have, the ability to win games in different ways, and yes, they've won a ton of them in run rule fashion, but they have the offense back virtually intact from the team last year that set so many records, and they're you know, right on that pace again this year. But then you look at the added element of the pitching staff, and to have the amount of shutouts that they this season, I believe the win against Tulsa was number 18 on the season, if I'm not mistaken. It's just crazy to have the pitching staff with Jordy Ball, the freshman Hope Troutwine, the transfer from North Texas, and then you added Nicole May, who's been really good herself. And this team can just do just about everything. The one problem that they've had so far has been in the field, but these are the same players who were really good in the field last year. You would think that they'd be able to figure that out as the season went on, but they've certainly got the stuff to be able to be right up there, not only with the best teams in OU history, but the best teams in college softball history. You know, if they win tonight, they would it would be their best start in program history, and then they're right there on the cusp of making a run at the best winning streak, the longest winning streak in college softball history. It would be, I believe, at the end of this month when they would be able to break that at Kansas.
You mentioned the streak. To me, that feels like it's kind of like a no-hitter. You don't want to talk about it, but it's on everybody's mind. Do the players, do the coaches, are they aware of this streak? And is that something you think they talk about, or they just go game by game?
Well, they're certainly aware of it, even if they won't talk about it much to us. And they, they downplay it. Patty Gasso downplays it, especially in a sport like baseball or softball. Eventually something happens. You run into a hot pitcher and, that streak ends. They had a couple of those games this year. They had a game like that on Saturday against UAB. They were able to scratch out a couple of runs and win 2-0 because of that pitching staff that's so good. Maybe that's the game that they lose a year ago. The last game against Baylor, sort of the same thing. But they find a way in the seventh inning, down a run, down to their last strike, to get across three runs and win that ball game. So, it's not something that they're going to go around talking much about, but it's certainly something they're aware of. Even if they won't admit it.
You mentioned they're on the road tonight, starting a three-game series with Texas Tech, followed by a three-game series, especially a tough, maybe trap game atmosphere in Austin against Texas. They're not back home until April 22nd. Look at the rest of the schedule. I kind of mentioned Texas, but is there anyone else that kind of stands out? And obviously OSU to wrap up the year, but what could be the toughest game or series for OU?
Yeah, I think it's just those two that you mentioned. Texas, down there in Austin, certainly the Longhorns have the ability to come through and pull off one of those games. And then OSU to end the season. That series is in Norman, but we saw the Cowgirls knock off the Sooners last year and in their Big 12 winning streak. So certainly they've got the ability to do that. A couple of teams that are right there around the top 10, either just in or just out. So it's certainly not going to be easy for them moving forward, but it's hard to think that anybody but those two teams can knock off this Sooners team.
We're speaking with Ryan Aber, the OU beat writer from the Oklahoma. And moving forward, spring football is in full effect, and in most places it's not that big of a deal. But in Norman, outside of the fact that football usually is king, it is. But new coaching staff, which means brand new everything, offensively, defensively, but maybe some familiarity there with Coach Venables coming back. What stood out to you throughout the spring practice so far?
Well, a couple things. One, when you look defensively, the involvement of Brent Venables on that side of the ball is so much different. Not that we didn't expect that, but to see it in person, and we've actually got to see a fair amount of their work in person, which is a little bit different for us. You know, it's a little bit of a shock to see how much he's on the defensive side of the ball and involved, especially with the linebackers. And when you've got not only Brent Venables there, but Ted Roof there on that side of the ball, you know, they're getting coached up, you know, more than pretty much anybody in college football. And a couple players that stand out on that side of the ball, you know, one to me that honestly I didn't expect a whole lot of coming into this camp, but has looked really good from the looks that we've got at him, is Kenai Walker, the cornerback transfer from Louisville. And then a guy that we did expect a pretty fair amount of is Jeffrey Johnson, the defensive tackle transfer from Tulane. Those guys have looked really good so far. When you go into the offensive side of the ball, obviously you got to start with Dylan Gabriel. His grasp of this offense is off the charts, which we expected after playing in Jeff Lebby's offense for his first couple of years at UCF. He's been able to settle in. The pace that they're playing with, the tempo, has been a big change, and I think that's something that is going to be noticeable right off the bat. They're going to play a whole lot faster than what the Sooners have done the last few years. They started off doing quite a bit of tempo under Lincoln Riley, had gone away from that over these last couple of years. They're back at it, and really at a faster tempo than we've ever seen. And then, another player that really stands out to me, from the time that we've got to watch there, is the wide receiver, Jaden Gibson. 6'5", taller than any other receiver they've got on this roster, and certainly looks the part. And he's a guy who's got a chance to contribute right off the bat for them.
Back on defense, you're noting players. We got local interest out here. We have a lot of Weatherford listeners. How does Ethan Downs look to you?
Yeah, he's another guy who's got a chance to make a big leap forward this year. You know, we saw him play a decent amount last year, played in all 13 games, you know, had some decent numbers, but I think he's going to make a big leap forward this year in what Brent Venables is doing defensively. We got a chance to talk to Ethan the other day for the first time since he got to campus, and just really interesting hearing from him about how he fits in this defense, and also how he fits sort of in the leadership structure of that group, because they've got some guys there with Reggie Grimes and Marcus Stripling who have some experience, maybe a little bit more experience than Ethan Downs has, but he's sort of taken it upon himself to be one of those guys in that group, and I think that he's a guy who's really primed for taking a big leap forward this year.
Very good. Hey, you know, this isn't a knock on the old coaching staff, but I'll ask you, is there more media availability, or I know every coaching staff's different, that allows some and doesn't allow some, and are you getting more of a look on your side?
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, we've gotten I think it's four viewing periods of anywhere from 20 to 50 minutes each. Generally, with the old staff, we would get one or two during the spring that would last at max 15 minutes. So we're getting a chance to take a look at these guys, get a look at the coaches and their style a little bit more. You know, the past couple of years, it's just been get in there, you know, see the sort of the highlights and then get out. You're pushed out very quickly. This year, you can sort of bounce around a little bit more and try to take a look a little bit deeper at some things, really see how the coaches interact with players, how Brent Venables interacts with players and his staff in a way that, you know, we just weren't able to see with Lincoln Riley. And, you know, I understand sometimes, you know, why they do some things they do, even though if I think that the balance, you know, goes a little bit too far the other way. But Brent Venables has been very open, and I think, you know, hearing him talk about needing us to understand so that we can help the fans understand some things, you know, I think he gets it in a little bit different way than what Lincoln Riley did. And, you know, I know that Lincoln Riley's not the only one that was pretty locked down with things. From what I understand, Lincoln Riley isn't really locked down at USC. It's hard to be when you've got to compete with the Lakers and Dodgers and everything else in Southern California. But it's certainly been a breath of fresh air for me and everybody else who covers the Sooners.
Well, he doesn't have to compete with the Lakers anymore. So do you think that will the availability will continue in the fall, or are you going to have to camp out at the College of Journalism to get your info?
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I talked to somebody on the staff and was told that, you know, we might be able to go out to the first 10 or 15 minutes of practice a couple times a week, which would be completely different. We've never been able to do that during the season, so since I've been on the beat, which has been about a decade now. So, you know, I think certainly it'll get a little bit more locked down as we get closer to the season and when the season starts. But I still think it's going to be, you know, a little bit better, a little bit different than it was in previous years.
Speaking with Ryan Aber from the Oklahoman, he covers OU athletics. Final question, Ryan, OU baseball, Bedlam tonight in Stillwater. What can we expect?
Well, I think certainly you look at OU starting pitching has been fairly solid, especially Jake Bennett there at the top of the rotation. Now, when you talk about from the Sooners aspect of things, they've got a lockdown on the bullpen, and you look at what happened in that last game against Texas, where they just had it that game seemingly in hand, and then it just blew up in the hands of the bullpen, and they've got to get that figured out. And I know that's something that sort of eats at Skip Johnson, because he's a pitching guy and sort of you know, lives and dies with that pitching staff, but they have really struggled to this point. Offensively, they've been all right. You know, we've seen them score eight runs the last couple games. They've been able to put up a fair amount this year. But they've got to be able to, you know, not only build leads, but keep them in the end. That's OU's biggest issue now. And this is a big series for them, because they need to turn it around in a series win over a team like OSU with as high as they're ranked. Certain would be a big feather in their cap.
Absolutely. Ryan, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much. I know you're a busy guy. I know most people think during the spring you're not, but you are. You've got a lot of stuff to cover, and thanks for taking the time out to talk with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to do it, Jared. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Have a good day. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too.
That's Ryan Aber. He's from the Oklahoman. He covers OU athletics, and as you can tell, very plugged in, and we, again, appreciate his time with us. And it's the weekend. Well, not until 5, really, but – and then Skinny is back on Monday. And there I'm anxious go. To hear from him. He's on vacation and left at the perfect time, because I doubt it's very windy where he's at on the beach.
Well, maybe.
Oh. Maybe.
Wow.
A little breeze doesn't hurt you on the beach, but.
Well, hopefully he's had a good week and recharged.
I hope, you know, the worst part about a vacation is that when it ends, and the worst part is that first day back to work, so I'm hoping he's in a good mood on Monday morning.
Like, hopefully.
Hey, Skinny, welcome back. Yeah. I want to be on the beach.
Everything's piled up on me.
Yes,
I don't want to
exactly.
be back here.
And I know that's coming because as far as what he does with traffic and ad inventory and stuff. And
Yeah.
I've been, hey, Jared, can you plug us in? And then we'll just give Aaron the contracts when he gets back. That means he has to enter all this stuff. So, yeah. Might avoid Aaron on Monday.
But you still just got to go. Because
you need vacation. Yes.
You have to do it.
You have to take time for yourself, whether it be a staycation or a self vacation with just you or a family. You have to do it. You can't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's good for your mind, heart, and soul.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, for as many places and as great places as you want to work, if you were gone in 3 or 4 weeks, somebody will replace you.
That's a good point.
So don't ever, you know,
don't ever discount that. My wife asked me, I always feel bad when I take days off work.
Yeah.
Because of kind of what I mentioned. I know it kind of is a burden on others, but it's not a burden. Listen, Aaron, if you're listening, or he's probably listening to the podcast, this has not been a burden with you gone, buddy.
Yeah.
And not that you're irreplaceable, but I wish someone would tell me that. Because sometimes if I have to take a day off, whether for a sick kid or if I'm sick or a vacation, I feel bad. Like, man, I'm leaving them in a lurch because they got to do this, they got to do that, got to do this, you know.
So this is a sports station, so it's putting your team together.
Sure.
If you have somebody that gets injured, the team can still play. Yeah. That's the real team. Yeah. So
now you might not win.
Well, you may not. You may not. But you can survive. The world doesn't burn down.
And I'm saying this in all sincerity. I'm not being a suck up or a brown nose or anything like that. But I love my job.
Yeah.
And there are times when I take too long a vacation, I kind of miss it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We become creatures of habit.
Yeah.
So
I like that. I like that. Yeah. Anyways, so anxious to have Aaron back. I'm sure he'll be anxious to get back too, with what I just said about loving your job, because he loves this show, loves doing it. I love sports and I love baseball. I love high school baseball. There was some base. Did you know there was baseball played yesterday?
That's crazy.
Could you imagine?
Crazy.
I bet you loved it if you're a batter who could.
Depending on,
really,
I guess,
get it up in that jet
stream. That's what I was gonna say. Depending on which way the field faced.
Yeah.
If you could get in, the wind would help you. Maybe that guy that's just never been quite able to get it out of the park, yesterday might have been his day.
Looking at some scores, just I'm doing this on the fly because we're filling time for another 6 minutes. Canute, they're number one in Class A. They notched a win on senior night yesterday, taking on Amber Pocasset, number 5 out of 2A, and they walloped them 10-2, and I do know there's some home runs hit in that one. Their next game should be a fun one. It is on Monday, if my math is right, and it is. It is against Fort Cobb Broxton, number 2 out of Class B. So you got number 1 Class A, number 2 Class B. Those two have played each other a lot in a lot of sports, and it's always fun when they meet up. That it's on my schedule that I'm reading. It says it is at Canute. It says 1 o'clock. I don't think that's right. I'm going to guess it's more like 4 or 5. But that is appointment baseball, if there was any. I mean, that's one I'm circling on my calendar. But I have a practice for another little kids team, so we'll see what happens. A team that's starting to roll right now in 4A there's a couple teams, and they're in the same district. Both Elk City and Clinton, they appear to be on the collision course for a district title, for a meetup for a district title. Start with Elk City. They've won their last 4, 5 of their last 6. They beat Anadarko. They swept Anadarko in a district series. They've won their last 2 district series against Kingfisher. They beat them 11-1 in the first game, 11-0 in the second. You think that's impressive? They beat Anadarko 23-1 in the first game, 20-1 in the second game.
Wow.
Putting up some runs. That was yesterday.
Dang.
In a doubleheader, it appears.
Wow.
Wow. Wow, indeed.
Yeah.
And again, makes you. But it was at home, and you know the way the field faces for Elk City, you have. You're not hitting any out into the wind,
not
yesterday's
wind,
but that they're putting the ball in play and they are starting to roll. Now, it says on the schedule tonight they have Wichita Falls Old High. Old High School, I guess?
Yeah, maybe so.
So I guess they're coming up here to Ackley. You're looking for a baseball game to go
to?
Go check that out. If I'm wrong, text me, McClure, 580-225-9698. But that's pretty cool. And then I mentioned the Clinton thing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm alluding here. Clinton, they beat Weatherford earlier this week, 16-6 in the first, 12-6 in the second game. They took on Leedy in a non-district game. Leedy, number 6 in Class B, beat them 13-5. Beat Arapahoe Butler, they're number 12 in Class A, 19-5. So Clinton, just like Elk, they're putting up some runs. And now Elk City and Clinton, they play on Monday, first of two games in their district. The first game is right here in Elk City.
Okay.
So that's another Monday. Man, that's some good baseball coming up on Monday. Fort Cobb at Canute, Clinton at Elk City.
Yeah.
And the Clinton Elk City one.
What time? What time?
It says 5 o'clock.
Okay, cool.
And then they turn around because the way district worked in 4A, they play one game one day at one venue, and then they return it to the other venue, and those are two district games.
Yeah.
So they'll return on Tuesday over at Clinton. And again, it appears, as I'm going to pull up some district standings, that right now Elk City and Clinton seem to be the cream of the baseball crop in 4A district. I believe it is 4, and it is. They're both 6-0. Weatherford 6-2, Kingfisher 6-2, Woodward's 2-6, Western Heights is 0-6, and Anadarko is 0-9. So the two undefeated teams in the district are Clinton and Elk City. They play on Monday.
Ooh, that'll be good.
That looks fun.
I think I'm going to that one.
That looks like, man, I have to be maybe go for a little bit to one game and travel over, go to another game.
Yeah.
Only 8 miles apart.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, that'd be fun.
Exactly.
That'd be a fun day of baseball right there. So that. Again, and we're winding down the season. We're getting closer to playoff, which is towards for small school district playoffs start April 21st, and then regional the next week, and then state the first weekend of May. And I believe the larger schools are like a week later. That makes sense. So
gotcha.
And before we know it, we're going to be talking about graduations.
Yeah, no kidding. Proms are already happening.
Canute prom tonight.
Yeah. Elk City next week.
Wow.
So I'm looking this up. So you're saying the Fort Cobb Broxton Canute game Monday is going to be a good one.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, so it's at 1.
It says 1, but it says all the games are at 1. I'm just wondering if that's how they were entered and they didn't know what time.
Yeah, you
typically
may be right.
These games are 4:30, 5 that's o'clock, right. Something okay. like that. They wouldn't do it right in the middle of school.
Yeah,
you know, they
true.
Wait, you know, I'm going to
I got hopeful when I saw that thinking, "Oh,
that would be nice.
I could go watch Parker play."
That would be nice. Yeah, so. To if you wanted to try to double dip there and get a double header, that no problem, but I think you may be totally right.
Yeah. Cuz all the rest down through there. Yeah, I didn't look for it.
Yeah. And the Clinton Elk City game on Monday is at 5.
Okay.
Which, listen, I mean, from where the studio is, it's right there. I mean, as soon as I'm done here, I might just trot over there.
Yeah.
First.
Cool.
And
catch some of that one.
Yeah. Then. So it's going to be fun. A lot of fun. You know, I mentioned I'm from Clinton.
Yes.
But anytime anymore, I mean, I love saying I'm from Clinton. I graduate from Clinton, but people go, "Hey, where are you from?" Ah, Western Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I work in Elk. I live in Canute. I'm from Clinton. You know. So
you know that Clinton, I mean, it used to be very fierce. But, of course, Elk City and Sayre used to be a very fierce rivalry also. I don't think it doesn't seem like we have that. I mean, there is still some, but it's not like back in my day. It got pretty rough on rivalry game days,
Especially football. Obviously, football.
Yeah,
I remember growing up, Clinton Weatherford was at times nasty.
Yeah,
it was.
And Elk City Clinton used to be too.
Yeah,
like eggs off of the overpass on the buses.
Yeah,
both directions. So,
there's some innocent stuff happening. I remember some toilet paper incidents at rival schools.
Oh yeah, you're right.
I don't know who did it, but and stuff like that. You know, you don't. There's a line you don't cross. You know,
that's
toilet paper is fine, but there's other stuff.
Yeah,
those are fun. That's when rivalries are fun, but you got to know what the line is.
Yeah, I mean, the cops used to come when we played football in my day. I mean, there would be highway patrol.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go to Clinton. We'd have escort. When Clinton would come here, they would have escort. Yeah. It was silly looking back on it, but it was very serious.
Sometimes people took it way too seriously.
Yes,
exactly. But
exactly.
I mentioned that because Clinton and Canute played, was it last week? Yeah, over at the F&M Bank tournament, which is played at both Kingfisher and Piedmont. There's a lot of really good schools in that one.
Yeah,
those two played on Friday night, and if you remember right, rain came on through and it actually reached over there. They were playing over in Piedmont, At the time, Knut was leading 7-6, like in the fourth inning. It was a fun game.
Yeah.
And it rained out. There's no winner, no loser. They declared it a no contest. Oh. I was like, oh, come on. And my wife was like, hey, that's good for you because your team and your team were playing each other, and
yeah.
there was no winner and no loser. So I guess that's right. They both were playing good, and nobody won, nobody lost. So
yeah, there you go.
Jared won that night.
Yeah.
Hey, Corey, thanks for being on with me.
Hey, man, thanks for having
me. Appreciate you. That's going to do it. We got to get on out of here. Thanks for everybody for tuning on in. Thank you to Ryan Aber being our guest today. He's the OU beat writer. I encourage you to go pick up The Oklahoman and read his stuff. He does a great job with it. I'm out of here. Aaron is back with us on Monday. You've been listening to The Skinny on Sports on your Friday. Have a good weekend.
You've been listening to The Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.